Blog Talk Radio.
Hear that music?
When I look in the mirror, I don't see wrinkles.
I don't see wrinkles, do you?
When I look in the mirror, I see hair.
I see hair.
On my head, not my shoulder.
You know why?
Because
I am a super ager.
I see a Mustang.
This is Super Aging Today with Adrian Berg and a panoply of guests from all over the country.
22.
Well,
I'm running in slow motion on the beach like Bo Derek.
I could run in slow motion.
You may think that I'm full of it.
This is the first time in history that there has been a broadcast that celebrates aging, that says don't turn away from it, embrace it, race it, love it, because the next part of your life is the best part of your life. And you know what? If that seems a little bit too effusive, well, too bad, because I have to tell you something. After 60, you are faced with 30, 40, some say 50, some say infinite. We'll have those guests on too. Woo! Years. And what are you going to do with them? Are you going to sit there and spend 90% of your conversation talking about your gallbladder? Not if you're listening to Super Aging Today. And let me give you a brief introduction to this, because believe me, you never heard anything like this. We have put together the leaders in this country of successful aging, actually all over the world. And we have asked them to come with us live in our studio, on the internet, on the web, on the phone, to give you the tools that you need, a real toolkit for successful aging, mind, body, spirit, travel, money, housing. And of course, you know, half of us, age 60, have at least one living parent. So we're also children. We are the over 50 child. And we'll talk about that too, things that nobody ever deals with. What happens when you have a lifelong marriage and one of you is aging differently? Maybe you can't travel the same way. What happens when one of your friends passes on and leaves a real loss in your life that you never expected? What happens when you lose a pet or gain a pet? What happens when your kid, who's 35 years old, comes back to live with you? You know what? It's not ending the issues, and we've got the solutions, and that is Super Aging Today. We have a wonderful companion site, and before I introduce you to our first very exciting guest with very important information for you, I want to give you the website that you ought to be going to. We also are on Facebook and, of course, LinkedIn and Twitter. So on that very site, you'll be able to friend us and follow us and join us, and that is called Super Aging NJ. NJ stands for New Jersey, the great state of New Jersey. And I would be remiss if I didn't start this show thanking.
So can you hear me? Can you hear me on that? No.
To make this happen. And I'll give you a very...
Do I have to hold anything with this thing?
No. How would you like... And I said, Adrian, you are underserved. So I created a website and a radio show just for me. Working in the field of aging since the flood. And the fact is, I did find that this stage of my life is the best stage of my life. And I want to bring that to you. And that doesn't mean I'm invulnerable, and that doesn't mean I don't get sick, and that doesn't mean I don't take pills. What it means is that despite all of that, you can age without getting old. And our motto is inform, connect, and empower. And our heart's motto is...
Yeah.
The youngest guy I know. He's...
Test, test, 1, 2.
And when you see what Emblem Health is bringing to the table, you're going to be pretty impressed. Sometimes, I'm sure you've seen their ads about caregiving on the TV, but Emblem Health is a leader in creation of information, organizations, and programs to support the family caregiver. And Greg is the creator of Care for the Family Caregiver Initiative. That's going on at least 15 years now. He's the founder of the New York City Family Caregiver Coalition, and more recently, the founder of the New York City Partnership for Family Caregiving Corp, talking about caregiving in the workplace. But before we do that, let me just say thank you, Greg, for coming here.
Adrian, and on behalf of MLML, I want to say congratulations to you and the entire team here at Super Aging NJ. It's a great concept, and I'm honored to be here.
I'm just honored that you were able to do this, and when you guys listen to what Greg and Emblem bring to the table, you're going to need this information. So this is not just chit-chat and health and happiness right now. It really is about your life. So let's start with the fundamental question, Greg. What is health care for our listeners to get focused on what we're going to be talking about in the next 15 minutes or so?
Oh, that's great. One quick thing before I do, wherever in the world I go to speak, I always like to say, I've come to say the two words that family caregivers rarely, if ever, hear. So folks, listen up. Thank you. Thank you. You're the backbone of the healthcare system. And we often use the example that that healthcare is like a three-legged stool. We need all three legs. Certainly there needs to be a care recipient, someone who is ill physically, emotionally, spiritually, and usually it's in all three areas.
Usually an older adult, but in our case.
In this case, yes.
Right.
The second leg is the professional caregiver. And this is a category that gets confused at times. It's from the most expensive, highest paid specialist in down and including the home care attendant, who is so vital and so valuable. But so often people begin to think that's the caregiver. No, they are caregivers, yes, but they're professional caregivers.
Right.
And the stool can't possibly balance with just two legs. And that's why I say the third leg is the family caregiver, the unpaid person who cares either for family of origin, meaning our blood family, or a family of choice. It can be a faith community. It can be a school community, a political action, whatever. I, frankly, have a caregiving committee in my 21-story apartment building in New York City because we chose
for residents
to be part. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So one of the things that we know, and we're going to talk about the definition of the caregiver even further, is that we don't self-identify as caregivers. And that is something that's been going on for a long time. If people say, are you a caregiver, even though you may be getting food for your mom or dad, you may be getting calls at work for your mom and dad, you may be the point person to take them to a doctor.
Yes.
If most of the time, if someone's not living with you, and sometimes even then, people do not identify themselves as a caregiver. So talk about the family caregiver in all of its variety.
Absolutely. Well, quite frankly, that's brilliant what you just said, because there are so many faces to family caregiving, but curiously enough, when you add them all together, there are 65.7 million of us in America today. That means one in three is a family caregiver.
One in three.
And the value of this free service that's being generously given by family caregivers equates to $450 billion in service, obviously in kind. But it's an incredible gift that people are giving. And as I said, it's family of origin, meaning our blood family, families of choice. It's not just the seniors like me or a senior like me caring for the old, which is that new sociological term. I'm glad there's still another category.
Right, because I want to eventually get into that category.
Me too.
I'm waiting for that one.
You got it. But it's also seniors caring for seniors. It's grandparents raising grandchildren, which we call kinship. It's chronic diseases, which know no age. It's people with long-distance caregiving issues. That's always a key one. And also, one of the big areas that has come more and more has been the veterans.
Yes.
Because today, the veterans, the issues for them are very much kinship, because the wounds are chronic conditions.
Yes.
And so that becomes a very big area. So you see, there are lots and lots. Also, people with end-of-life issues in the middle of life.
Right.
And all of
and
those
hospice.
Become, yes, all of those become avenues for family caregiving. And you're so on target, Adrian, when you say we don't name it. And that's the biggest issue. Because until we name it, we cannot do the most important thing that caregivers and some of your guests are going to be talking exactly about, that before I can care for you, I've got to care for myself.
I think that's where the disconnect comes in, and that may be the most important thing that our listeners are hearing right now. Answer these questions to yourself. Do you have stress in your life because you are caring for someone else on any level? They may not even be in the same state. There was a time that we thought about the family caregiver, first of all, as always female,
mm-hmm.
always the elder daughter, and very frequently somebody who was living with their parents or the parents were living with them. Now we can have an executive guy 15 states away who is a caregiver because in the middle of his meeting, he's getting a phone call or a text from somebody else saying, Mom is really sick, I don't know what to do. So I want you to think about, are you in this category? And we speak to Greg now about his latest initiative.
Yes.
I definitely want to go back to so many other opportunities for people. But a lot of people who are listening, particularly perhaps in the archives of our Super Aging show or going on superagingnj.com that has a whole tab for caregiving, they're working.
Yes.
And we don't think of that as the caregiver. And they're so busy working, they forget that they're in that category. So tell us what you're doing right on site with companies, corporations.
Absolutely.
And how people can tell their corporations what you're doing and what's being offered.
Well, frankly, you broadcast at a recent event that we did with
yes.
another one of your entities from the New York Academy of Medicine. We recently hosted a family caregiving summit that was named Name It and Know Its Many Faces. Because we wanted to bring, and this is the point of the New York City partnership, is bringing awareness to the corporations that from a financial bottom line point of view, and it can be documented through the National Alliance of Caregiving, they have some incredibly wonderful studies, familycaregiving.org. The corporations in America today are losing $17 to $38 billion a year in family caregiving-related issues. And that can be through absenteeism, people having to take leaves, as well as presenteeism, people who are there but are just not emotionally there because there are so many things that are going on.
So there's a real workplace toll that's
going on. A huge one. And when it's framed in that conversation, executives are stepping up to the plate and saying, yes, we need to have the conversation about one person, two roles. That these wonderful people who are working 6, 8, 10 hours a day or more in a corporation are working with us 24/7 as family caregivers. And if that second and very emotional role is not honored and addressed, it results in many, many losses and difficulties.
A loss of focus
yes.
is a big thing. I mean, my mom passed away when she was 92. I
yes.
had my own business. But there was no question that even in her case, she was the most independent person on earth, there was loss of focus.
Yes.
You know, I want to tell everybody, and I wanted to say this to Greg also, and anyone else will ever be a guest, I take notes while our guests are speaking, and I just wrote down familycaregiving.org. So all of your connections will be on superagingnj.com that you're associated with, all Emblem Health, the coalitions that you've created.
Wonderful.
But also, if you happen to spat out something like familycaregiving.org, I'm taking that down.
Good.
And what we're trying to do here, because on our launch show, we really should say we have a mission. And that mission is inform, connect, empower. But the first part is inform.
Absolutely.
Now, the second part is connect, and that's
yes.
where I want to talk to you now.
Yes.
How do we, who may be listening, who are working in corporations, who finally said to themselves, hey, I'm a family caregiver. I'm listening to what that means.
Yes.
How can we connect with what you offer the corporations? How does Emblem Health support this? What can we do to empower ourselves that way?
Well, Emblem Health has been the incredible voice of family caregiving. I have been very blessed when they came and really said to me, this is over 15 years ago, we want to bring attention to the silent patients, the family caregivers, and that's absolutely true. And we began in many different ways, but most of all in building partnerships. And if you go today to Emblem's, it's very simple, corporate caregivers, here go your notes, I can see it,
right,
corporatecaregivers.com. That is a website that's been created by Emblem for our partners in this, because the core, the army for the corporations, as it were, that's the play on the words, is made up of what I call brilliant and accredited generalists. So we have Friends Indeed, which was begun by Mike Nichols and Cynthia O'Neill.
And they will be guests eventually.
Yes.
I already invited them.
Wonderful. Well, you couldn't do more wonderfully. We have SAGE out of New York, which is national, and it's Pride Week, so we must honor that.
So gay, lesbian, transgender elders, you know, everybody gets old.
Absolutely. And there's a grand disproportionateness of people dying alone who are LGBT.
Yes.
And that's a big issue. Of course, I know she will be a guest of yours, Sheila Warnock, the author and founder of Share the Care.
I just emailed her yesterday.
Great.
But also our friends at SAGE, too. They've already been...
Yes, great.
They've been warned.
Good.
They're going to be on.
And Marion Gambardella, who has been a real leader in spiritual conditioning, does a lot of support group work for us at our Emblem Health neighborhood care sites and in the senior centers. She's been teaching us all how to meditate and to go within. And then Intersections International, which is an incredible corporation in New York, which has done a lot of focus on the veteran and civilian dialogue.
Which we're hearing so much about.
Exactly.
Now, yeah.
And they have been great leaders, so you'll want to have them. Along with, in New York City, it's the AAA is known as the Department for the Aging. You and I were laughing about that all over the country.
Because we think it's an automobile club.
Yes, that's what I thought.
That.
But it's the Area Agencies on Aging, and they're all over the country. And they are our wonderful advisors and sponsors in New York. So together, we provide an enormous amount of initial resources and initial opportunities for getting real information, because each is published extensively.
And what we're going to do is we'll take a little bit of a break to tell people that we're here, which is Super Aging. Today is our radio show. SuperAgingNJ.com is the companion website. We just heard from Greg Johnson. He's going to be staying with us for a few more moments, and we're going to also put him on a panel about fitness for people who are caregivers, and that's you. If you don't know it, more female caregivers get breast cancer than any other demographic, and there's reasons for that. But I want to thank you. Greg mentioned some thank yous. I have a particular thank you, and that is for Unity Bank. Unity Bank is a place where a small business can really dream big. They are our sponsor, and they were the first to step up to the plate. You'll find them in Clinton, New Jersey. I'm going to give you their phone number. It's 800-618-BANK, and if you're like me, you want me to give you the numbers, it's 800-618-2265, but that is 800-618-BANK. It's an extraordinary local bank. They have wonderful coffee when you get in. They have a wonderful handshake. They have incredible service. They have a $200 sign-up bonus when you sign up for free live banking for your business. They have the mortgages that you want in your personal life. They have better interest rates in this lousy interest rate environment. So what you really want is Unity Bank. You want to find out more about them? It's very simple. You just go to unitybank.com. And we cannot be more grateful for their support. And that's the other part of Unity Bank. They are truly a community bank with all of the services that a big bank can give you and all of the heart that only your neighbor could bring to your personal finance. So thank you, Unity Bank. And we're going to come back, and we're going to maybe we'll have a little bit more music while we get our next guest on, who's going to be part of our panel on fitness. But I want to go back to Greg for a minute while we're doing that. We're all really excited about our little music because we got it written especially for us. It's called Inappropriate for My Age, and it's written by Keith Varney, who writes what's called the 10-Minute Musical.
On my head, not my shoulder. When I look in the driveway, I see a Mustang.
Do you see a
Mustang?
Subaru. I see a Subaru.
And when I look at my wife, she is 22 and running in slow motion on the beach like Bo Derek. You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me not even a bit, because I am happy.
All three of us could do this.
And I freely admit
I'm inappropriate for my age.
Amen.
Okay. Yeah, all right. So we're going to take one more minute with Greg, and then I'm going to introduce you, because you heard a little bit of a female voice there. It's certainly not mine. You don't want to hear that one. But I want to go through for one other thing, Greg, before we talk more about self-care.
Yes.
Founder of the New York City Family Caregiver Coalition, and, of course, we've been talking about In the Workplace, the New York City Partnership for Family Caregiving Corps. These are things that most people really don't know exist. If you're a caregiver, how do you start to look and see all that's available? Now, of course, you're associated with New York City. People who are listening to this show can hear from anywhere in the world. So you have to get a little bit into what's going on, what's trending for the caregiver. Is it finally coming out of the woodwork, or are you by yourself someplace with Emblem Health in it, you know, saying, what should we do?
We're a part who's been privileged to lead in this, and I thank Emblem from the bottom of my heart for opening the door to this conversation. And so much of life, as you well know, in radio does that, is it gives us the permission to talk about it. But today, and I can't believe I'm saying this, nor can any of those who know me, but Google the word family caregiving. It will go on for millions and millions of sites. Be a bit more specific
so
with
family caregiving
New Jersey. You have some incredible organizations here as well. I've been privileged to work with them. There are now 80-some coalitions. In fact, this afternoon I'm going to be doing a webinar with the National Alliance of Caregiving for the coalitions around the country, 87 of them. You were part of the ours, which was the second to be built. So, yes, it's a topic whose time has come. And, frankly, we're seeing it even in the theater. Look at the different movies that have been there, the Best Marigold Hotel, the Amours. Family caregiving is everywhere. It's been, there was a recent play on Broadway. So it's,
even
we've
the notebook.
Been given. Yes.
Even the notebook. The notebook is
we've been
Alzheimer's.
Given permission to talk about these things. And, you know, that's so important. There's one thing that I do like to say, and I think it, over these years I have used this line many, many times, but it has more meaning, that we need to remember with family caregiving, and you know I am also an ordained minister, so when I say it, I say this with respect, but it's true. With family caregiving, you can't pay it away, you can't pray it away, and you can't prescribe it away. You need all three. Believe me, you do.
Right.
But ultimately, you have to go through it, and it's the hope and the prayer of everyone involved in family caregiving that you'll grow through it. And that's why all these resources are out there. EmblemHealth.com, Facebook.com. We'll give these all to you for your audience.
Well, it's going to be on our resource list. Now, one of our resources, and I'm going to introduce Risa Linsky to you while Greg is here, because I want them to have a little dialogue. You'll see that there's a method to this madness. Now, Risa is a master of adult fitness. She is also a really important entrepreneur and a leader in fitness. She has created in her own area of Maplewood walks that people actually go on all the time, special sessions that she's going to talk to you about a little bit later on, about how you can really reach in and make a difference in your life. She's, of course, a wellness coach, but you may know her from her business, which is Count on Yourself. One of the major things she does is really help people change their lives through wellness coaching and walking. She's a dear friend of mine. She saved me. You know, look, I'm 66 and hot. And there's only one reason, and that's Risa Linsky. If you want a better testimonial than that, you just have to go to see me. So thank you for being here, Risa.
Oh, Adrian, thank you.
And we're going to have more discussion just one-on-one, but what I wanted the two of you, and I actually will leave the stage for a second here, the idea of caring for yourself when you're a caregiver. Greg has all the statistics, which we're going to go into right now, about what happens to you when you're caring more for someone else than yourself, but you've got the solutions. So let's talk a little bit. Set the stage for Risa to come in and say, how can we help ourselves?
Well, I think that's a real special question, because when I was asked originally to create this program, I said my background was certainly it's theater and theology. And the only thing that I really knew about family caregiving was that as a clergy person, I'd buried more caregivers and care recipients, and I had a very good idea why. Now, of course, it's been absolutely confirmed in my life. And it is exactly that And I love the fact of the work that you do, because Emblem Health is a health and wellness corporation who happens to sell insurance, which is what's so needed. It's how one is cared for in America. But it's the health and wellness that is the focus.
The health and wellness, one of the toughest things, Greg, and I think you're recognizing it, and it's exactly what you're saying. And I've been a caregiver myself.
Okay.
For my mother as
yes.
well, like Adrian and like all of us, is it's always easy. It's very, very easy to put ourselves, as you said earlier, on the back burner. It's extremely, when we're not focusing on what our physical or emotional needs are, we just act impulsively. We act in the moment. We act in an emergency situation. We act because we have to.
Yes.
And the people that I work with, and when I'm coaching somebody or I'm working with them, and they say, I have no time. I have no time to go for a walk. I have no time. There have been situations, and I'm sure you've come across this, where people that are caregivers have forgotten to eat.
Yes.
Medications. They're taken care of. And again, I'm in my late 50s, and I'm thankfully I'm healthy and I'm active and don't have that, you know, that situation. But even when I was taking care of my mom, who's 86, and I would make sure that I would get up first thing in the morning, and I said to her, while you're in bed and you're okay, until her aide at some point might have gotten there, while you're in bed and you're okay, I'm going out for my walk, Mom. I have to go out for my walk. This is my lifeline. And she understood that.
Absolutely.
She totally understood that. But this is a very difficult thing. I have a phrase that I say, self-care is not selfish.
Amen.
It's critical. It's so critical. So we're number one, even though our love and our affection and our caring for the other person as well is important.
But can't give away what we don't have. And I love the fact that you took that initiative with the walk. When my partner of 41 years, during the last couple of months of his life, we had a similar situation where I would say to him, Joe, I'm going to go out and have my prayer time. That was very important to me, to begin and to end my day with some quiet meditation. In fact, I've written a book in memory of him called Peace Be Still, Prayers and Affirmations for Family Caregivers, because I realized I had no time to read a book, but I did have time to take a number of meditations that are important to me and just frame me and do my spiritual conditioning and then do a bit of my exercise so that I'd be prepared to do the lifting and the moving and things that we're being called upon to do. So I just love what you said, yes. And, you know, it allows the person, I have found, and it certainly allowed Joe to be part of his own wellness, that he understood, in addition to going to work and that sort of thing, I was caring for him, but I did need to have a moment.
You do. You do. If you don't have the moment, then when he is on a higher level of stress,
yes,
your cortisol, your hormones, everything is going to kick in, and you're going to, well, let's go back to your prayer.
Yeah.
Prayer, meditation,
yes.
Deep breathing.
Amen.
I work with people when I say to them, what you practice throughout the day is what you're going to have in that critical moment that you need it. If you breathe and you focus and you are, it's not just the emergency situation. It's when you're okay that you build up your immunity, you build up your endurance, you build up your emotional endurance, which is what
Precisely.
You're saying. You build up that emotional endurance so that you can be ready when it's needed. It's the same as working a muscle.
Absolutely.
You can't use the muscle if you haven't worked it all the time.
You know, as you guys are talking, what's coming to my mind as the observer here and a person who, I learned my fitness from Risa. I don't have an internal fitness clock. I'm not one of those.
Mm-hmm.
Is this, when we are caregivers, we want it to be over. One of two things are on our mind. The person, we're going to lose the person,
yes.
and it's a finite period, so we're going to not take care of ourselves while this thing is happening in our life, or they're going to get well. Whether we're right or we're not right, we see an end to it, so we hang in there doing nothing for ourselves, sometimes weeks, sometimes months, sometimes even years, waiting for the event of either wellness for them or, you know, we're going to lose them. And then when that happens, we're so depleted either way that it becomes a very difficult to go back into a world of good health. And that's why the statistics are cancer and breast cancer and a stroke and heart attacks and so many, as you said, you bury the caregiver before the care recipient.
Yeah.
And I think we have to ask ourselves, how do we put ourselves first? You both have said that, and you're putting yourself first for the other person. But I'll start with Greg. What kind of guilt do you see when you deal with caregivers? And how do we get rid of that so they take care of themselves?
Well, that is something that, the biggest statement you always hear is, oh, I should have done more. They start, I don't want to use the word, but shooting all over themselves.
Right.
I use it
all the time.
Yes, we heard you. We heard you.
Yes, I want to be appropriate. But you know what you're really saying, Adrian, is family caregiving does one thing that is I talk about so often, is it blesses us or it forces us, and it depends where you're looking, to ask the big questions in life. We're a society that doesn't want to talk about death and dying, and we really don't appreciate life until we've faced that reality. And for some people, the first time, no matter how the caregiving situation may turn out, whether someone is deceased or they recover, the question is questions they've not had before. And so I always find that to be the very important part. It forces us to go within ourselves, to realize that the only person that I'm going to spend my whole life with is me.
Yes.
I'm blessed to have however many years with whomever, but we need to look at that and to live to the very best that we could do, and nothing more can be asked of us.
You know, this is a perfect time to take our little break, and I to me that's a poem. I'm going to say thank you and goodbye to Greg.
Thank you.
I'm going to tell you that this you've been listening to the words of wisdom of the brilliant Greg Johnson, who is the Director, Community Outreach for Emblem Health New York, Creator Care for the Family Caregiver Initiative for nearly 15 years, founder of the New York City Family Caregiver Coalition, founder of the New York City Partnership. By the way, all of our guests are going to have this. It's going to go on forever. It's like their mothers wrote this stuff. I'm telling you, we have, like, the best people, and you're going to learn about fitness for you and how to be hot and how to be gorgeous and what you really do, what wellness really means and what wellness coaching really means, because I know you've all heard about it, but few people have done it, and how it contributes to successful aging. When we speak more with Risa Olinsky in just a minute, we'll take a very, very quick break to tell you a couple of things. This is the launch of Super Aging Today, the very first show ever that celebrates aging. That says if we inform you, if we connect you together, we're empowering you for the next 30, 40, 50 years of the best time of your life. Realistically, this is no pie-in-the-sky stuff. Betty Davis said, getting old is not for sissies. And we are not sissies. We are strong people that make a difference in the world, that have always wanted to make a change, that have plenty of opportunity to change the world right now for all the generations to come and all that are on Earth today. So that is what Super Aging, it's a very small mission, what Super Aging Today is about is a radio show. We're also a companion to a website called Super Aging NJ, which stands for NewJersey.com, because we're under the auspices of a grant from the great state of New Jersey with the assistance of NJ Commons, a journalistic organization for the state of New Jersey, and the great Montclair State University with so many of its distinctions. Debbie Gallant, who has put this whole thing together. Debbie, I hope that you hear this part because kisses are coming to you from so many quarters right now for what you've accomplished and done. And Nick Zanis, who's in charge of this radio show, and my great friend, and savior Adam, who's in the booth someplace. It's just going to be a wonderful party. And that's what we're working on. One other little plug, we have a sponsor, and that's Unity Bank. By the way, those of you who would like to be a sponsor of this show, which is what the state of New Jersey is hoping, the idea is to bring more commerce to you from the millions, really millions, of people over the age of 50 that live in this very dense populated state, the densest population in the United States, by the way, with more people over 50 than any place else in one square block. You simply go to superagingnj.com and look at our advertising. It's pathetically cheap. What can I tell you? But the fact is that we are here. We're here to stay. And we thank Unity Bank. Unity Bank is a wonderful community bank. I love one of theirs. They have a lot of slogans. But my favorite one is small business dreams big at Unity Bank. And I am small business, so I understand what that means. This is part of dreaming big. And they've supported that dream. They'll also give you $200, by the way, as a bonus if you sign up for their free online banking for your business. And we will have entrepreneurs here showing you how to start a business over 50. So you see, everything is connected. You have your business. You have your Unity Bank. You find them at 800-618-BANK, 800-618-2265. And we're all together. Let's see. Can we start our song where we left it off? Because I want to hear about her boobs. There's a line in the song that has to do with that. And it just reminded me of me. I don't know why. Maybe when you hear it, you'll understand. Yeah, we got that on? We have Stuart. You're gonna hear about Stuart as the years go by on this show. I've been on the air for 20 years, so when I say years go by, I'm not kidding.
I don't see wrinkles.
Yeah, but then we started from the beginning. I wanted to start a little bit later on in the, if we can.
When I look
can't
in
do
the
it?
Mirror,
yeah, figure it out.
I see hair.
While this is on, I want
on my
to
head, not my
bring your attention to your body, which is what he's talking about.
Mustang,
and this is Keith Varney, who wrote this, inappropriate for my age.
And when I look at my wife, she is 22.
But when I think of a good body, I think of Risa Olinsky.
Like
because she helps everybody have a good body. We'll get to the boobs line eventually. What I want to bring out here is that I was a mess at age 50, and I actually didn't think I was ever going to feel great. And then I met up with Risa, and she was the kind of coach at that time where she went to your home or you went to her home, she had a studio, you would lift weights, and guess what? The weight would come off and you'd look great. But that was a long time ago. And she has created so many programs of community outreach programs in Maplewood, in different parts of the state. She has brought together healthcare professionals with online groups. She has created Count on Yourself, one of the best physical programs around. And, of course, she's a wellness coach. So now on your own, not on a panel, thank you for being here, Risa.
Oh, Adrienne, thank you. It's a pleasure.
All right, so let's just jump in. You've started a couple of new things. First, explain Count on Yourself and how that works.
Okay. Well, Adrienne, when you and I met back in the 90s or so, I had a different business, and it was called Classic Fitness. And my Classic Fitness business was specifically physical training.
Yes.
So I'm a personal trainer. I'm an ACE-certified personal trainer with a master's degree in exercise science, and this is what I did. And I was at the time in my 40s or so, and I'm raising a family.
She's trying to tell you that she's younger than me.
Not
all
much.
Right, go ahead.
So I built this business around raising a family and juggling and that time of life. Then as I approached my 50th birthday, I realized that there was more to developing wellness and health and fitness than just exercise. And with aging, as we're talking about today, it was really important to look at the big picture of what were the components beyond just fitness. So I came upon wellness coaching. I was at a professional conference, and I discovered Well Coaches Corporation. And the light bulb went off in my head, and I said to myself, wow, this is the missing link. This is the piece. And that piece is why we do what we do, not just how we do it, and it's not just about exercise, but it's the big picture. Coaching and wellness coaching is about what we eat, how we sleep. If we need medication, are we taking these things? Or if we don't need medication, can we prevent illness from, can we be preventive? Can we be proactive? But the biggest piece of coaching and of my business, which then became Count on Yourself Coaching, I closed Classic Fitness because I said,
it's not just the body. It's
not
just lifting
the body.
The weights, right.
It's not just the body. That's one piece, one component of the total picture. If you're not sleeping, you can't exercise. If you're taking care of, as we were speaking earlier with Greg, if you're taking care of a senior or even an ill child, there are many people at whatever stage of their life, even mothers that were taking care of young children, not necessarily ill, they're just taking care of children, they again have to take care of themselves. And one of the excuses, what is the classic, I'm going to ask you a question, the classic excuse everyone says, I can't do this, I can't do that because I don't have enough
time.
Time.
No question.
Absolutely.
That's right.
We always hear people say, I don't have time.
Right.
And then I say to somebody, when you have a toothache,
you have time. Yeah.
It's amazing.
When you're sick, you have time.
You have time. So in the coaching process, what I do is I work with the big picture of their lifestyle. We sit down and we don't just, sometimes we exercise, but it's not about exercise. It's about looking at the big picture and saying, why don't you have time? What is it? How are you prioritizing your life? Are you getting enough sleep? And coaching is about questions. I loved it when I discovered it because I said, I no longer have to be the expert in everything.
Yes.
I just have to know the right questions to ask. Because we say in coaching, the client is the expert.
That's amazing. Because the fact is that most of us want to take the pill from the expert, who we don't think is us,
mm-hmm.
and we just take the pill, and maybe it works, maybe it doesn't, and we give over the most important thing in the world to us, which is our health, to somebody else all the time. You know, I wanted to connect something there that you said. Wellness coaching, count on yourself, is a one-on-one experience. It's very, very intimate. And I will tell you that from my point of view, for those of you who feel they don't have time, the reason I changed my life, and I really did, I mean, I'm 30 pounds thinner, and it's a long time that I'm exercising.
18 years.
Yeah, and I never saw a gym. I was such a good girl in school, I got detention every week because I cut gym. I cut gym because I didn't think it was important.
That's classic.
It's classic. I cut gym, and now if I don't go to the gym, I really feel deprived. And my turning point was when I found I was more productive. When I found
mm-hmm.
that I could go to the gym for an hour
mm-hmm.
and accomplish more by the end of the day than
absolutely.
I did when I didn't go to the gym, that was my personal turning point, and it changed my life. But I want mm-hmm. to talk about your community outreach because you do walking in different areas. You're a real influencer in a community, and people can create groups that you will basically facilitate for them. So I want to hear about that, too.
Well, thank you. I live in Maplewood,
yeah.
and I've lived there 28 years, and I think
it's a great place.
I love it. I know we used to live near each other, and one of the things, when you moved into a different place, you became self-motivated as well, like
right.
you just said. But Maplewood's a very walkable, what we rate as walkable communities. There are
right.
other communities in New Jersey that may be a little more spread out, and you can't get too many places without a car, but Maplewood is very walkable. So I saw this, and I felt this in my community, and I thought to myself, how can I get more people on foot, get them up and moving, and get them connecting with each other? Because, again, one of the biggest excuses somebody says when they say they don't have time, it's really not the time.
They're also lonely, too.
They're
doing it by themselves.
Yeah.
There's no peer motivation.
And with older adults, what the terminology is we're using, seniors, older adults.
Hot older adults.
Older adults. Older adults.
I call myself a wow. Wild old women.
Wild. Oh, I love it.
Women.
Wow. and sometimes people are fearful. They don't want to go out by themselves.
Yeah.
They might be afraid of falling. So if they're afraid of falling, we talk about walking sticks or we talk about balance and things like that. But the walking group idea makes it very motivating. It really motivates people. So I created a Facebook group in Maplewood and South Orange, and then it just grew and grew and grew.
Right.
It has about 600 people on it. And it's called Soma on Foot. It's a group that almost anyone can join, but it's not completely open because we don't want, just strangers
right.
coming in from all over the place.
Right. Guys have to be hunks, otherwise they can get in.
And,
as long as they look good.
And what I
okay.
and what I do is periodically I post totally free walks and hikes. Now, the interesting thing is, you say community outreach, is this was an idea I had a few years ago that just because it's so easy to do on Facebook, I just did. However, then what branched out of this was a conversation that I had with our deputy mayor, Kathy Leventhal, in Maplewood, about community wellness, and we started a more in-depth and more involved program as part of the mayor's wellness campaign,
yes,
which is a statewide program. We engaged a team of leaders in the community from all different areas, from different groups, to call it our wellness team. And now we have Maplewood Loves Wellness. And it has its own Facebook page, and it has events going on throughout the year. From there, I created a six-week pedometer walking program.
That's my favorite program, by the way. It's a six-week program. Now, right here is where you've got to tell people how to find you.
Okay.
Because right here is what you guys who are listening have to be doing, this six-week pedometer program. Go.
Well, I've created a pedometer program. It's called Count on Yourself Coaching, which is as well, I'm sorry, Count on Yourself, the pedometer program, which is as well my website. Finding my website is the easiest thing. Even if you don't remember, count on yourself, remember my name, Risa Olinsky.
Phil Olinsky,
oh,
think that's an easy thing?
I got that wrong the other day at one of the big stores. Olinsky is O-L-I-N-S-K-Y.
So we have RisaOlinsky.com, and we have Count on Yourself.
And
.com.
We have, yes, and we have, well, actually, it'll go right to it, not to worry. And we have Soma on Foot. We that's on Facebook, and my Facebook page is as well, Count on Yourself Coaching. To take that a step further, the pedometer program has also been done in various businesses, corporations. I take it in as a lunch and learn program into major corporations in New Jersey. It can be done in an hour and a half. We bring in the pedometers. We set it up for the walkers. And then a month later, while they're staying in touch with me via phone or on the web or online by email, a month later I follow up and I want to check up on these folks and say, okay, how did you do? Because they're logging their steps. Accountability is a critical piece of motivation, whether it's accountability to the coach, whether it's accountability to a friend, to a partner, to a spouse.
My accountability is to Bloomingdale's.
Yeah.
Size 8. If I'm
Ooh.
Not in size 8, they say, mm-hmm. You're not walking.
You're not
doing
walking.
They throw me out.
Actually, I had that last night. I was coaching someone, and this woman had lost about 18 pounds. And I said to her, what is your motivation? She said, my clothes. It's as simple as that.
Absolutely. So we're going to take a very, very quick break. Before we do, again, how to get to you.
RisaOlinsky.com. Facebook, Count on Yourself Coaching.
So what we'll be back with this, but I do want to take a little bit of a break, and I want to remind you that everything Risa said, including all the ways to reach her, is going to be on our website, superagingnj.com. Now, our slogan, let's say, is Inform, Connect, Empower. So that's part of the information. You should be going to the website as frequently as you can because we update it very frequently. The other thing is that we connect. So if you work for a corporation and you think that a caregiver program would be useful, if you think that a Count on Yourself pedometer program, 6-week program would be useful, it can even be set up as a contest between departments because, as Risa says, the motivation comes from peer and from striving and achievement, or you can combine them. One thing Risa doesn't know, and this is really part of what we're doing here, is that on November 20th, Greg is having a caregivers conference for corporations, and you're invited to come there and say a few words about the in-house corporate program that you create. So that is our connect part. We inform, we connect. Empowerment, though, has to do with you. You know, that's a great New Age word, empower. It doesn't happen unless you want to be empowered for successful aging. And so what I'm asking you to do is to listen to the show, to tell people about the show, to go on to our Facebook, Super Aging NJ, to go on to Blog Talk Radio, that it has its own social media page at Super Aging Today. There are many, many ways for you to inform us about guests, who you would like on the show, if you have something to bring to the table. There's wonderful ways to connect. And one of our great sponsors, Unity Bank, has been very successful with us in using their advertising and their outreach to tell people that we're around. We thank them very much. And one of the places that you can reach them for connection is 800-618-BANK, 800-618-BANK. Without saying goodbye to Risa now, but I do want to say a quick hello to somebody who's been an incredible support for us. Now, her name is Pepe Margulies, which I think is like the best name on earth. Pepe, are you with us?
Let me just say
who Pepe is. She is the head of the Lifelong Learning Institute over at Raritan Valley Community College, and she's going to tell you about some wonderful programs that are coming up just for you starting in the fall. But the first thing I want to do, Pepe, is thank you, because what she's done for us, Super Aging, is allow us to have a full-day workshop on how to be a photojournalist and a journalist for us, opened only to people over the age of 50. And in our next hour, you're going to hear from some of those journalists. So, Pepe, tell us a little bit about the Lifelong Learning Program and RVCC.
Thank you so much for that lovely introduction. And Raritan Valley is very pleased and proud to be creating their own lifelong learning program, because for many years there was a partnership with Rutgers program, and now we're standalone at the Bridgewater location, which is not far from the Bridgewater Mall, and actually next door to the Bridgewater Library on Voigt Avenue. This year we're offering, this fall, our programs start October 6th, and they're 5-week courses. We have two that are 10-week courses, but for the most part they're 5 weeks. They're a little bit of a variety because we try to listen to our audience. One is scrapbooking, preserving history. We have computer basics for beginners, because many of our lifelong learners or seniors 50 and over told us that they are not familiar with computers. They want to communicate with family, with children, grandchildren, who don't necessarily live in the area. So we're teaching them all about Skyping and maybe even learning not only emailing, but hopefully eventually texting. And we also now have a computer basics beginners too, who are learning more about the computer, learning a little bit about making presentation, what is a PowerPoint, what is Excel. And then we have intermediate bridge, which we've had an overwhelming response to. We
it's
have something
amazing.
Called spiritual.
It always draws. Yep, bridges, I don't know, it always draws. Go right ahead.
Yes.
You've got good 9 courses there, I know.
And
they're very, yeah,
and,
with great variety.
Yes, and then we have something that's so fun. It's spiritual, soul music, doo-wop. And the gentleman who runs the class was actually a well-known disc jockey in Philadelphia, and he is just amazing, the wealth of his knowledge and the people that he knows, his history, and it always draws, he's got a following. There's something called Write Your Own Memoirs, and that is so exciting because there are many people who, have a life story to tell, don't even know where to begin. And Eileen Beckerman, who is the presenter, is also an author of 5 published memoirs. She's had an off-Broadway show, and she lives in our community, so we're so proud that she'll participate. We have something called Masterpiece Theater.
I'm taking that course.
I'm sorry.
I'm taking that course.
Wonderful.
Course.
Oh, you will love it.
No one can know enough about me.
I am really taking the course. But you do talk about other memoirs, not just Eileen's, but other people who've written memoirs. And the class, because I sat in and listened to some of the class a year ago when we first introduced it, and she really encourages people to find their creative side, and you share information if you want to with colleagues. And it ties a little bit with the scrapbooking, by the way. Some people are taking both because it's your personal story. And then I'm amazed because I got myself busy with Masterpiece Theater, which I love. And last year I did 2 classes on Downton Abbey. And it's not just the show and the soap opera in it, but it's the history, the culture. Why did Americans come to Britain, to England, and marry all these wealthy landowners, barons, lords. So we had an amazing program, and there was a lovely lady who made us English breakfast every morning, once a week when we met. And this, I thought I was done with this, but they insisted that now we meet again to talk about Mr. Selfridge. I don't know if you've seen that series.
I'm glued to it.
And it don't you love it? It's so fun. It's so amazing. And those people from Downton Abbey must have shopped in his store because historically it's the same time. And then there's another program that is so popular, and that's in the planetarium on the main campus, something called Cosmic Perspectives is the first 5 weeks. And then we're going to do another 5 weeks on being weather-wise, the change in our climates, related to weather, and how it's affecting us. So we do try and offer variety. And the people who come are very special. There's also, by the way, the theater, even though we're not actually managing it this year, there is a theater noontime program that many of our seniors attend. There's at least 5 to 6 programs that the theater runs that are music and one-act shows at noon on certain days. And all this information can be found on the Raritan Valley Community College website.
Pepe, we will have it always on Super Aging NJ, but please tell them the exact website for Raritan Valley itself. Okay? Go right ahead.
Yes, sure. The exact address is called www.raritanval.edu/lifelong. And if that is complicated for someone, they just have to Google Raritan Valley Community College, go to the main page. There's community programs. Hit that link, and it brings you down to Lifelong Learning link. And you can find our Lifelong Learning courses, a registration page, a calendar. You can find whatever you need for to participate in this. And we have open registration now, so everything is updated and available for people to see. And we're very, pleased that we can announce this and through your listeners and to your radio, and welcome your support. And thank you for including us in all this today.
Well, we always will. We'll probably have another journalism workshop either the first or second semester of last year. You've been an incredible support. For those who don't know, Newsweek named Raritan Valley Community College the best education value in the United States, dollar for dollar. It's a wonderful community resource that we have in Raritan, RVCC, and I know that my daughter, who did not go to RVCC, had many people who graduated with her from high school proudly saying that they were going to go to RVCC. So this is a beautiful lifelong learning. Look, no excuses. We all know that lifelong learning and life engagement is a very big part of successful aging, and people like Pepe Margulies make that happen for you all year long. So thank you so much, Pepe, for being with us.
And thank you for the invite.
Yeah, no question. All right, so we have a couple more minutes. I want to go back right now to Risa before the bottom of the hour. See, for you it's the top of the hour. For me it's the bottom of the hour. But I want to go back to the breakthrough. I want to talk about for a few minutes something that many of us don't have through our 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s. In our 60s, a strange thing happens. Mm. We really realize that the breakthrough comes because we've had a breakdown. We have high cholesterol, maybe a little heart problem, something went wrong, and all of a sudden we become health nuts.
Mm.
And we get on to all the fads. And the next thing you know, always were, because we really didn't make any changes. So I'm really asking, we're speaking with Risa Olinsky, Count On Yourself Coaching, a wellness coach, and one of the best community organizers for wellness and fitness around. How do you make a breakthrough? How do you distinguish the person who's going to make that breakthrough and really make a change in their life and the person who is going to do the same old after following a fad for 2 weeks?
Adrienne, that's an excellent, right-on-target question. In the coaching practice, we have a saying that we say, is the person ready? In quotes, are they ready? When you come to a coach or someone to motivate you, there's a certain openness and readiness that we evaluate as a coach. Now, they don't necessarily know that that's going on, that we're doing it. And with me, the first thing I do is I have a 5-page questionnaire that I send people. And it's all about them. It's really a personal profile. Another part of what we do is the motivators. When I'm meeting with someone, what we're doing is determining one-on-one or in a group situation, because I also do group coaching, I'm determining by conversation only, what are the intrinsic motivators that this person has identified? And if they have not identified those motivators, it's my job to help them do that. And just like you just said, health, cholesterol, things that are critical to their life, maybe beyond, as we mentioned earlier, fitting into a certain size. but much more powerful motivators, we call them. Asking the right questions and helping them connect the dots to, well, this is important to me, but I do this, and gee, I might do this. One of the things I say to people is, what did you love when you were younger? What did you love to do?
Junior's cheesecake.
Junior's cheesecake. And I'd say,
that's
why?
That's not helpful, is it? That's not helpful.
Well, you mentioned earlier gym class. Most people, when we were growing up, hated gym class.
I did.
We did. So I asked them, we work on the motivators. We work specifically on the intrinsic motivation. And then we connect that with what their goals are. And then their goals need to be very specific.
So we're going to come back after the end of this hour. Remember, you are listening to Super Aging Today, the only show that really and truly celebrates aging. We're speaking with Reese Olitsky. She's an adult fitness guru, wellness coach, and a community organizer for fitness and wellness. Don't go away, because we're going to be back.
For my age. I'm inappropriate for my age. I see myself as a young man of action.
I see myself, and my boobs are up here.
I see myself
as a teen out past curfew.
I see myself and a score to some beer.
That's inappropriate.
We're 40 years over the drinking age.
Right. I'll tell you what's inappropriate.
What, Mom?
Why is it so hilarious?
And that was Grandma who walked in. Now I'm going to introduce you to one of our great photojournalists. And one of the things that I'm very interested in you understanding is that you can be one of them as well. This is Super Aging Today. It's the only radio show that deals with the issues of successful aging. It is a companion to a website, superagingnj.com. And we talk about inform, connect, empower. And one of the things that we did was we realized that we wanted people writing for us, taking pictures for us, that were us. Yeah, I know. Look, I've got a business, and one of the things we're going to talk about is how to be an entrepreneur over 50 on one of our upcoming shows. But the fact is that every once in a while, I just get a little sick and tired of dealing with 24-year-old Jennifer, who has no idea that my feet hurt when I'm running in stilettos. And hers doesn't. So I really wanted people who could sense, take the pictures, have the spirituality, have the experience, the life experience that you have when you tune into the radio show or look at our website. And so as you may have heard, if you've been listening for a while, we did have a workshop at Raritan Community College, which Pepe Margulies has supported us in doing. And we had 35 people register and learn for a full day how to be AgeBeat journalists. I am a New York Times AgeBeat fellow. I do a lot of writing, a lot of journalism in this field of aging. And from that 35 emerged four out of 35 that were really ready, as Risa Olinsky said, ready to blossom out. And one of them is with me today. His name is Joe Mish. I'm going to give you an introduction, but the fact is it's almost useless. Because that's like explaining the wind. I mean, giving an introduction to a flower. This guy is one of the most spiritual, artistic souls that ever walked the earth, and yet his background is corporate. He was for 26 years with J&J in our area, Johnson & Johnson. I learned today for the first time that his heart was that he wanted to be a vet. But he takes photos that will make you cry. Truly cry for joy, and the reason that it doesn't really pay to introduce Joe Mish is you've got to see his pictures. There's no way not to. So we will have, and we already have on our website, and you really should take a look. Maybe you even want to use it as a screensaver because they're gorgeous. And those are his nature photos in the areas of Warren County and Somerset County and Hunterdon County. But he's really all over the world, and he'll be having videos with us as well. He's working on 3 books. I mean, there's no end to this guy. So, Joe, first of all, thank you for being here.
I didn't realize you were talking about
me. Yes. I told you, I made everybody's mother write this, write their bios. But let's get down to this. You're going to be on many times because you're our nature photojournalist, and one of the things we will eventually talk about is how to take pictures and take beautiful pictures. But right now, as an introduction, I really want to know about your current project, your most current project, which has captured my imagination. That's the Canoe Project.
Yeah.
And something that you've just finished, which is some of the stills of beautiful, beautiful animals, which you capture in ways I don't even know how you do it. So tell us first about the Canoe Project and what motivated you
with this. Well, I was always a voracious reader. And the Golden Books, the children's books, there was Scuffy the Tugboat.
Yes.
Scuffy the Tugboat was a little toy tugboat that was sailed around in a little stream far away from the sea.
Yes.
And one day the tugboat got loose and he traveled all the way from the inland on this little stream to a larger stream to the river to the ocean. And I'm constantly captivated by that. I used to live downriver on the Raritan River.
Yes.
Near the mouth of the river. And then I moved upriver. And I always had it in my mind, I have to canoe down to the mouth of the river. I guess it was maybe about 35 miles or so.
Yes.
So one morning I woke up, grabbed the canoe, walked out to the pasture, put the canoe in, and paddled down to Perth Amboy.
Huh.
And I've done that a couple of times. And right now I have a GoPro camera. I've never, you know, I've always had a still camera.
Now, just mention the camera for a minute.
Yeah.
You take these beautiful still pictures of animals. What do you use for that? What is your camera there?
I have a Nikon D300. It's an older camera.
Okay.
And I think the secret to doing that is just having a camera with you constantly. So,
So
now with the GoPro, which is a video camera, I've mounted it on one of my canoes. And what I'm going to do is, again, trace the Raritan River from Clinton, New Jersey, on down to Perth Amboy. And, you know, for several different reasons, not for any one particular reason, but it would serve as a good historical document, you know, to see what this river actually is. And also it helps to support the main focus of what I'm trying to do, and that is to reveal the natural treasures hidden in plain view in New Jersey.
And you surely have. I mean, go to superagingnj.com and you'll be knocked out by what you see. Now, let's just talk about some of the latest photos that you've just taken.
Mm-hmm.
And really, how you capture them? What is your latest favorite?
Well, one of the most incredible photos that seemed like a gift, and some of these photos do seem like gifts, is a bald eagle. And the bald eagle is in a tree up above me. I'm sitting in a canoe, and I happen to notice that there is a three-quarter moon behind the eagle. So I positioned the canoe and took maybe about a half a dozen photos, maybe a dozen photos, I don't even know, and didn't think anything of it. You know, I'm a one-trick pony with the camera. I have a one prime lens that I use, and I really didn't expect this to come out so dramatically. And when I looked at it on the computer, I was blown away.
Now, do you? Oh, I'm going to use a dirty word. Do you Photoshop? Do you make changes after you've taken the picture? I didn't say until if I was going to ask him.
No,
that.
I have. I'm not technical in that regard. I know a Photoshop. I don't use Photoshop. You know, I use like a simple whatever the free editor is in Nikon over there. You know, where you contrast or something like that.
Okay, which brings me to the issue of spirituality. One of the things that you're going to be hearing from you're going to hear from Joe a lot, and he brings a type of spirituality, almost like a poetry, that seems to be infused in the pictures. Now, I don't want to get like woo-woo. You know, I have to come back to planet Earth. But don't you think that other people taking the same picture will not get the same picture? Isn't there some sort of a spiritual connection between the camera and the eye?
Yeah, there is a difference, and I think it's in the eye of the beholder. You know, I could take a picture. I'd go to Alaska, and, you know, the eagles are flocking around like pigeons and, you know, get some really incredible photos of an eagle in Alaska. And I could write an article about the natural treasures hidden in plain view in New Jersey and use that eagle picture.
Right.
But there's something missing.
Because it's not
because
real.
It's, you know, it's from Alaska, whatever. The eagle picture that I have accompanying my article is right here in your backyard.
Right.
I mean, you know, one of the town planners said, well, the cows are gone, meaning that, well, forget it, it's a free-for-all. We could build up, construct, whatever we want, because there is nothing worth saving. And I think that that's the essence for me, is that to look around and to see what's here. One of the potential book titles that I'm playing with is a 10,000-mile journey down a 10-mile stretch of river.
Huh.
Where every time you go, you see something different.
In the same place.
It's almost not repeatable.
Right.
If I brought somebody with me and say, hey, I want to show you an eagle, forget it.
It's never happened. There's an urban movie called Smoke Shop where they took a photo every single day of the same corner.
Yeah.
It's an interesting movie, but that was the same connection. And it really shows what time means, too. There's an element
mm-hmm.
of time and spirituality with it. But these are beautiful. So I know you're doing that as one of the books you're working on. You're working on a book on your experience at Warner Brothers Six Flags, was it?
It's Warner Brothers Jungle Habitat.
Jungle Habitat.
Yeah.
And because you were a veterinary assistant there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a third one. What's the third one that you're thinking about?
The third one is a photo book. Well, number one is a compilation of my articles over 10 years. This month I'm going to have a 10-year anniversary of the column Along the South Branch, which is published in the Branchburg News.
Okay, so people can read you and your column on the Branchburg News.
Yeah, I also have I found a WordPress, and I went into WordPress and I started to populate my articles.
Right.
And if you go under Winter Bear Rising, that's one word, two R's, .wordpress.com,
you'll see a collection
of articles and photos accompanying the article.
And as we all have been saying this whole time, that's going to be on our site, so don't worry about that. We'll get that information to you as well. All right, so we have some wonderful pictures to show. We have some wonderful information to give to people. Maybe we'll get a class out of you where people who want to learn to be nature journalists or just go with you on some of these trips.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we mean by inform, connect,
yeah,
and then empower people to have that talent. Maybe it's God-given, but maybe we could learn a little bit about
yeah.
from you. So we've been talking to Joe Mish.
One of the most important things you have to do, you could have a tool, but then you have to know how to use it.
Right.
And one of the key things to do is to be able to observe, be able to see things that other people don't see. And that only not helps you in nature photography, in nature, but it helps you in every aspect of your life.
So maybe that will be our course, actually seeing how to be a creative observer. So I thank you, Joe. I mean, we knew we didn't have a lot of time together today, but I had to introduce the world to you because you are a real treasure.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
And a great artist.
Yeah,
so,
it's a great opportunity.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
So and we are then going to introduce our next guest, who I've actually been talking about, but he doesn't know it, for the whole hour before, because I have been mentioning Unity Bank over and over again and thanking them, because they are our sponsor. Now, it's an interesting thing about Unity Bank. They didn't ask many questions. They stepped up to the plate. They said, we want to be part of this. If you're getting information out to older adults, if you are going to empower people to connect locally in Hunterdon County and in Somerset and Warren County, then we think they should know the name Unity Bank. And I love this slogan where small business dreams big, because you know that part of our mission at Super Aging is to get people to fulfill the dreams that they did not have time to do when they were younger. And for many people, entrepreneurship is one of them. So we'll definitely be working with Unity to do entrepreneur classes and start your own business classes. But for most people, they're about to turn their attention to not working. They're about to turn their attention to what happens when they really do retire. And is that the time in their life that is really going to be the best time, or are they going to be, as we always read about, the baby boomer is totally unprepared for retirement. They need $55 million, and they have saved maybe $3.68. So we have help, and that help is provided to us by Unity Bank. I'm very, very happy to introduce you to Robert Young, and you're going to hear more from him. He's a certified financial planner at Unity Financial Services. He's the head of the Retirement Planning Division. That's brand new for Unity Bank. He's a financial advisor. And he's here to talk about what changes you have to make psychologically before you make the changes that have to do with your money. You know, it's interesting. Everybody in this show has been connected. They're all strangers, and yet they've been connected. Because when Risa talked about fitness coaching, she talked about, are you ready? When Robert talks about financial fitness, he also kind of asked that question, are you really ready? And so thank you, Robert, for being with us today.
Oh, thank you, Adrian. Pleasure to be here.
And before we do anything, I have read your name about 80 times. I never heard it. What's the right pronunciation of your last name?
I just say Jung. It's supposed to be Junger.
Which is the way I say, yeah.
Right.
Right, because I've got that good Schweizerdeutsch look at your name. What is your background?
I've been a financial advisor for 26 years. 12 of that I've been a certified financial advisor, working independently with some of the bigger banks in the country. And now I love working with a small community bank,
They are wonderful.
And I'm here to help people.
So one of the things we talked about when we did talk privately was the issue of almost your psychological counseling, because people sometimes do get a shock when they speak to you and they have to make some life changes. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. Part of my process in helping people make decisions on how to move forward and plan for their retirement, I'll do a budget, which, believe it or not, is very painful. People don't like to
see. Oh, I believe it.
They don't like to see where all their money goes. And that they're spending that much, and the numbers really don't lie when we run these hypothetical versions of what could happen in the future. They don't like to see that they're going to outlive their money. And really what they need to do is stop and make a decision on what's more important. Once we get a handle on what all of their expenses are, and they're numerous, and sometimes they don't realize, you know, hidden expenses, it's a hard decision for them to start cutting back and to make decisions on what am I going to cut back, do I really need to change my lifestyle, and how can I generate some income. And that's where I turn more into a coach and a therapist to try to convince them, you need to make some changes, because if you don't, you're not going to be able to maintain the same lifestyle between now and, let's say, when you're 90.
Now, the reality is, I like to say the good news is you're going to live longer, the bad news is you can't afford it.
Yes, exactly.
But your job is to make sure they can afford it. Let's talk about some difficult things first, and we'll get to the easy part, which is your solutions, because you have many solutions. Let's get to the problem first. When it's a couple, and do they blame each other? Do they have different views of what they want to give up? Is one more willing to, you know, tighten the belt and the other one feels like it's a failure? And if so, how do you, you're not a shrink. You are a financial advisor. How do you step into that picture, particularly with a bank like Unity Bank, where, frankly, you're going to see these people in the supermarket?
Exactly. I just have to get them both to realize how much money they're spending and what it's on, and show them they can maintain that expense level, because there are a few rarities out there. Like if you retire from a municipality or the state or a policeman, they've got real pensions, and they're okay. But for the most part, most people have not saved enough money, and there's no way it's going to work. There are some, there is some conflict and tension between the spouses. Usually you'll find opposites attract. One person's a spender, and maybe a visionary, and the other person has their head on straight and wants to cut costs and be a little bit more frugal. And I just have to show them, I could run hypothetical illustrations that you're not going to survive on the amount of money you have and the income. Social Security just isn't going to do it. You need to either downsize your home, cut all kinds of expenses out. And bottom line is people spend more money than they make. And you can't do that when you're retired.
So let's talk about a couple of good things. One of them is Social Security. Now, I know you do help people maximize their Social Security. Often when you go to a financial planner, all they want to do is they do want to invest for you, they want to make their commissions, and with Social Security planning, really what's in it for you is a healthier client, but you do that. So let's talk a bit about how you help people maximize that as a beginning. That's
right.
A good solution, a beginning solution.
Well, we always look at their Social Security, when it, what's projected, if they started taking it. You don't really want to take it too soon. And in some cases, if there's an age disparity, possibly the spouse can take it on the older spouse's Social Security. So we want to go into the Social Security website, and we can look at different examples and just make sure they're maximizing the Social Security so they take it at the proper time. You don't want to take it too early, and then you don't want to take it too late if you've got health issues and things of that nature.
So I've been reading about taking Social Security, having your spouse get it, and then withdrawing your Social Security, so only a part of the check. That's a little, I won't call it a trick, but let's call it a strategy
right.
that I know you've brought to the table that have shocked many people and helped many people. Tell us about that.
There is a way that you could do that where, and again, you have to have the, one of the spouses has to be a little bit older, let's say a full Social Security age, either 66 if you're
a baby
that
boomer,
old now,
yeah, baby
or
boomer.
67 years old. You could take it, your 62-year-old spouse can take your part of your Social Security, and then you can turn yours off and claim it later on.
And they're still collecting a
and
check
still
for
collect,
the department. That,
right.
Yeah. So that is. Now, I do want to go back also to a comment you made, which is some people are okay like firefighters. I think we forget the power of a pension and that only municipal workers and so on. We even counsel people to go back and start to teach for a few years to create a pension. So one of the things we will be talking about in other shows is how do you get yourself a pension? But let's take somebody who comes to you. They don't have a pension. You know that it's better to have recurring income of X dollars than be a millionaire sometimes because the million-dollar net worth can go up and down, but this other steady stream of income stays.
Exactly.
So how do you then bring that into their life with services or products without giving us too much information because we've got compliance issues, we can't tell you. You got to go see this guy. But there are things you can do to create, we'll call it an artificial pension.
You could create your own private pension. And basically what a pension is, when you work for the municipality, they take some money out of your pay, let's say,
right.
every single pay period, put it aside, put it into a pool that will grow, and then at a certain point in the future, you get a payout for the rest of your life. Now, you could create that on your own by doing something very similar, and I'll just call it an annuity.
Right.
You can create your own annuity where in the beginning, the first phase is accumulation. You just want to take money and put it aside very systematically, once a week, once a month, however you get paid. You want to take some of that money.
On automatic pilot.
Automatic pilot. Push it down the timeline into your future. And then once you get to retirement and you know what your expenses are and what you have, the problem we have to solve is how much additional income above Social Security do you need, then we can look at how do we want to turn that cash flow on so you get it for the rest of your life?
You know, I was interested, actually. First of all, once again, I've been telling people how to find Unity because Unity is a sponsor of ours, and we've been doing some sponsor spots for you guys. But in your own words, Robert, how do they find you to sit down and talk to you about this?
There's two ways. They can do the old-fashioned way. Go right to the phone and call 908-878-9431, or more preferably, they could go right to Unity Bank's website. It's as simple as www.unitybank.com. I've got a tab on the top called Financial Planning. They could plug in some info, and I get an email, and then I'll contact them from there.
Now, you know, off the hook for a minute about helping us, I'm curious about something. Unity Bank has been around a long time. It's a community bank. It gives mortgages. It gives you good rates on your CDs. It helps you out with many, many things. And you can also put your – actually, I'll disclose. My IRA is with them. But in those earlier days, you really only could have CDs. You weren't really having planning. What was the thinking behind having a financial planning arm?
Well, the basic premise is the customer base is aging. You have the baby boomers getting to a point where they need to do more than just have their money in a checking or savings account. They need to plan for retirement. Even all the small businesses that we service and deal with, they need somebody to come in and help them set up a plan for themselves and their employees so they can start moving down the timeline and be more loyal to the bank, because then we're providing this whole extra service that's saying, we care about you, we're going to, you know, give you these other services that you really need, and we'll be there for you in the future.
Yeah, so one of the things that, of course, was a catalyst to super aging NJ was that we have an aging population. I was shocked when I went to Hunterdon County Warren County and Somerset County census, the number of us who are on the voting records that are over the age of 55 is a very large percentage. And obviously Unity must have been in touch with our community enough to see what was going on. So now I'm putting you back on the hook. That was just a breath for you. All right, they come to you. They got a big house. What do they call it? Big hat, no cattle. A big house, very little savings. The money is in the real estate. It's a lousy real estate market. So two related questions. Do you ever suggest a reverse mortgage? And if not, why not? And if so, why so? And if they don't want to do that, how do you get them to cash out on the home and maybe downsize a little so that you have something to work with to create a private pension?
Right. Good question. I'll take the second part first.
That's an easier one. Right. Exactly.
It's very psychologically hard for these people to say, this is my dream home. I'm in this big home. I raise my children here. I'm going to stay here forever. And then I have to dig in and say, well, look, you're paying $24,000 a year in property taxes, and they're only going to go up. Even though there's a cap, they can only go up 3% a year. They're going to continue to go up. Do you really need this big home? And it might take two or three meetings and talking to their attorney. And
a lot accountant. More than that sometimes, I bet.
Yeah, but when I could show them, if you could sell this, be totally debt-free, roll into a two-bedroom ranch, three-bedroom ranch, or a condo, better yet, townhome, you're going to have the extra money that we can then deploy and put to work and generate some income and also have a piece of it grow to hedge against inflation. And sooner or later, they'll see the light, especially when they see their tax bills going up or when they see, like this past winter, how expensive it is to heat these big homes and air condition them.
And what's happening now with the price of oil and so on. See, that's why superaging it can be very meaningful in people's lives. What I'd like to do, Robert, is have a panel with you and one of our local realtors, because it's almost impossible for an individual to make these decisions with one advisor. You really want to see how this works. And I also know that with Unity Bank, they have their eye on the community. And we are building more over 55 homes and more condos that aren't over 55, where people can stay put in the location but still basically downsize. Now I'm going to give you the hard one. You didn't want to answer, and you thought you got away with it. You thought I forgot. I didn't forget. Reverse mortgages.
Okay, reverse mortgages. Basically, the bank's taking or the lender's taking possession of your home. You get a cash out of so much money. You don't have to pay it off to you for so many months until you leave the home. I'll use it in very specific areas when the person wants to stay in the home and they're getting home care coming in as opposed to going to an assisted living or a nursing home.
I see.
Then you have no choice but to take their only remaining asset and convert it into cash, and eventually it's going to be sold. There's a case I'm working on now where the gentleman is 63, almost 64. He's got about a year to live. They don't know what to do. So in that case, I recommended, hey, do a reverse mortgage. You can stay in the home. He can have the home care workers come in, because you can't sell the home that quick, and it would disrupt, you know, when he comes home from treatments, he's very doesn't feel good. But usually that's sort of like the last resort.
So this is something you've almost used to convert for long-term care for somebody who desperately needs it right now.
Yes, which is another point. Most people haven't planned properly for long-term care. In their mind, they're going to be healthy forever. And maybe they will, maybe they won't, but they need it.
Yeah, so these are all things that you take care of all at once, which is the issue of income. We talked about creating the private pension. We talked about using the home or not losing the home, but parlay, I like to use the word, let's parlay the home into our financial fortress by getting rid of it for the moment and bringing something else we love. I also feel that part of our mission is to keep people engaged with life so that if they do have to make these big changes, like the home, they have so much else to look forward to that it just doesn't become a downer, an emotional downer, or something depressing or feeling a failure. I want to go to another area before we leave, because as you know, with all of our guests today, we'll be talking with you quite a bit. That's legacy. And this is a real question. I don't know the answer. I've written a lot of financial books. You know that. The last one is How Not to Go Broke at 102. But I really am not like you. I'm not on the front line or I'm seeing the people day after day, how much do they care about legacy versus living well while they're around? Are you feeling a tension, or is there no tension at all with this, or they feel their insurance is enough, or what's going on with the idea of legacy?
Legacy, it's odd. Out of the general population that I'll meet, maybe like 2% of them, the business owners, the people that have a lot of, accumulated a lot of wealth, they care about the legacy, and we can help them create a legacy and, you know, keep doing things for generations. The average person, they're more interested on, am I going to be able to pay my property taxes, my rent? Am I going to be able to buy food so I can continue the same lifestyle when I'm in my 90s?
Well, you know, you said you at least a dozen years and more in the field. Before we leave you, what I'd like to ask is, have you seen a change? Are things worse in that way, whereas people felt maybe more optimistic in the past, or what's your feeling right now? What's trending, as they would say?
Trending, a lot of people are confused. They don't know where to go or what to do. They're afraid to go into the equity market, into stocks, and they really need to have money there to hedge against inflation. You can't go into the bond market. It's not generating a return. So they really don't know what to do, and there's never been a time where I think people are seeking advice and guidance more than now, but they hesitate on putting it into action because they're afraid we're going to have another bubble that'll lose 60% of their money in an afternoon.
Interesting. You know, I'm going to ask you to wait here for a few minutes instead of just saying goodbye for this moment, because it occurred to me, if we can do this, I'm not sure, we're going to have a guest on from the great state of Nevada in a couple of minutes, who's going to be talking about getting a second home. Also, the cost in Nevada, which we could pay for taxes in Nevada for a whole year with 2 weeks of taxes in the state of New Jersey. I didn't make that up. That's the truth. So we're going to hear about that, and I'd love you to have a little dialogue with her. We're going to take a break, then we're going to go back, and we're going to introduce you to Diane Bell, who is, I call her, our journalist in the West. Because many of us either want second homes or downsizing elsewhere. It's cheaper. So right now, let me remind you that you are listening to Super Aging Today. It is the only show that celebrates aging. We have a lot of mottos. One of them is youth. It comes in all ages. And the other one is, I want to age, but I don't want to get old. And you don't have to, because really it is a state of mind. It's not the chronological order of your life. It's the psychological and psychographic order of your life. So to have a lot of fun, one of the things that I would love you to do is go to superagingnj.com. One of the things we have there are the events in the areas of Warren County, Hunterdon County, Somerset County. For those of you who don't know, by the way, and we're here with Robin, Unity Bank's financial planner, is that we are the 7th and 8th wealthiest county in the country. Hello? So we should be having a lot of fun. I don't think we're having enough fun. That's what's another thing that Super Aging is about, beautiful restaurants, great events, festivals, all the things that are going on locally. Super Aging Today, this radio show, that brings national figures, even international figures, together with our local experts to really explain to you lifelong learning, travel, housing, money, mind, body, and spirit. All the things that we need for successful aging. Now, many of you are grandparents and parents of college-age kids or kids thinking about going to college, and we want to introduce you to our Hunterdon County local college coach for those who are not quite sure which college they want to go to or what kind of essay they should be writing, how they should be approaching college. And eventually we'll speak with Unity also about paying for college. But if you go to www.collegecoaching.com, you will be able to find out how you can access a local college coach that helps you get to college the right way. So right now I want to introduce you to Diane Bell. I'll give you a little bit of a build-up here, and then we'll say hello, Diane. Diane is a guest of ours right now from the great state of Nevada. I will reveal to you, as I always do, she is my personal realtor. Why? Because my kids decided to go to L.A. to live. Don't even ask. But the fact is that I'm looking for property out west, and I have been doing that. I'm a property-type girl. I have never met a realtor like Diane, She is the most conscientious. She's an investor in real estate herself. She's conscientious. She knows what's going on. She's got the research going. And she happens to be plop in the middle of one of the most growing areas for retirement in the country, which is Henderson, Nevada, just voted the safest city. And it's a place where you can live. You would make Robert's heart very happy because you'd be able to give him a lot of money to manage because it costs next to nothing to live there compared to New Jersey. So let's hear from Diane, first of all, about the truth about second homes and what's going on out there. And then I think we're going to put you together a little bit, just for a little dialogue. Diane, thank you for being with us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. How are you?
I am great. And before we do anything, tell everybody about your real estate company and where they can find you.
Wonderful. My name is Diane Bell. I am at DianeSellsLV.com. We are a real estate brokerage that is primarily out of Indiana, but we have locations in Florida, Southern California, Arizona, Colorado. We are growing at a rapid pace. Our main focus is out-of-state buyers. It's amazing the amount of clients that I'm working with that are coming from back east due to the wonderful weather that you guys experienced this past winter. And been in business personally for over 10 years, investing for about 20 years now here in Vegas and Arizona. And, DianeSellsLV.com.
Well, that's great. And one of the things that was just mentioned before you got on was, oh, you know, Robert was just very casually saying, well, here in New Jersey, we may have $20,000, $24,000 a year in taxes for our private home. What's your average taxes over there?
Well, first of all, we don't have a state tax. And the average price for taxes on a property, if you were to purchase, let me take a home that I actually have in front of me. There's an age-restricted community that is becoming quite popular because it is priced right around $130,000. The square footage is 1,088 square feet. Your average taxes are $836 a year.
See, here is a day. That would be $800 a day, a year, talking about.
A year,
Robert
annual.
Robert, he died in the heaven.
that depends on the different neighborhoods, different areas, but, oh, yeah, you're definitely the highest I've seen them are, gosh, $2,400 annually, $5,000 for the several million-dollar properties that we have out here.
So let's concentrate a little bit on the area because I have a lot of questions, and as with everybody, by the way, Diane will be with us many, many times on this show and also contribute articles for Super Aging NJ. So let's take a look at just the area of Henderson and why it comes up all the time when people talk about retiring.
Well, primarily when you think of investing in Nevada, you think of Las Vegas. You think of the lights, the glitz, the strip, and there is so much more to southern Nevada than that. We have a wonderful city, which Adrian mentioned before, has been ranked by several huge, big-name corporations that we are the safest city, believe it or not, one of the best cities to raise a family. And Henderson is a smaller community of smaller subdivision of Las Vegas. It basically borders the southeast portion of Nevada. Southeast runs to a little bit of the southwest, but primarily south. And there's a lot of little smaller subdivisions in Henderson, from Green Valley to Anthem to Lake Las Vegas. The list is very long. We do have a lot of 55 and older communities. Absolutely. Very close to Lake Mead, just on the other side of the hill, you would say. And it's a man-made lake, absolutely beautiful community. Adrian has some interest in that community. But there's so much more to Vegas. I could go on and on and on about each individual community. Every community has something to offer.
Now, let's take a look at the transplants. The person from New Jersey who just wants a second home there.
Okay.
One of the things you've been working on is actually having people be able to buy such real estate in their own IRAs. A lot of people don't know they're allowed to do that. So let's talk about that for a moment. Then I'm going to bring in Robert to talk about another area with you. So first, that concept of the real estate IRA.
The real estate IRA is, it sounds a lot more complex than it is. It's almost just like obtaining a mortgage loan. Roughly takes about 45 days once we get all of the paperwork done. And kind of do a little pre-appraisal, and from there they order the actual appraisal. And it's really based on protecting the buyer, which is very important because that is my job. But to know that I have a lender doing the same thing instead of just punching in numbers trying to get a cut of the commission is spectacular. Operating costs out here can be very, very high in certain communities, and that's a huge turnoff. And that's something that when you utilize your IRA towards purchasing a property, that protects you. And I love that. Love that whole idea, love that concept. Still learning a lot about it, but excited.
Yeah. So one of the things that is good is if you can't get an ownership in an independent IRA, if you do that, you can get a loan, and the only recourse that your lender has is toward that property and not anything else in your IRA. So we just want to bring that concept to everybody who has an interest and has some cash in their IRA enough to buy a piece of property that they're not going to use at the moment because you can't use
and
it.
And I feel it's very important also to expand more upon that because it does protect the buyer. There are so many loans and different programs that do not protect the buyer. They say they do, but in actuality, no, they're still going to come after you if you default. And I just, the amount of information that I have obtained with investing through your IRA is amazing. I'm so impressed and very excited about working with it and growing with it and learning more.
Right. Now, one of the things I want to do, I kept Robert here for a while because I want to introduce you. Our motto is inform, connect, empower. But we don't only mean our listeners and our residents. We mean also each other. So I would like Robert to tell you a little bit about what he's doing at Unity Bank because one of the things that people are interested in sometimes is that second home and how you would work with a realtor to make it a reality for their life if they are selling this, the big monster, because you've helped them do that, Robert. And they get something smaller to stay in place here, and then they may be able to parlay it into that second dream home, whether it's Florida for a lot of people in New Jersey or whether it's the West Coast because we have kids moving there. This is something that you are also a centerpiece of. And people should know that your financial planner, if they're really watching you, has all that aspect in their life. Go ahead, Rob. Do people come to you for things like that?
They do. It's actually been more Delaware. People are starting to buy homes down there.
Makes sense.
But I've been to Henderson in the past, and it's a beautiful area. And I think if they have the resources, you eventually have to go to an area where you can receive the proper health care and be in a good environment and keep your costs contained. So when you live into your late 90s, all the infrastructure is there.
So, Diane, will you be able to get us maybe a little article just on what he hit on? He hit on an important thing, which is health care. It's great if it's cheap, and it's great if it's beautiful, and it's great as long as you feel good. Then when you feel lousy, if the health care stinks, you don't want to retire there.
Well, and that's funny that you
that
just that you bring that up. Absolutely. We have just built one of the most state-of-the-art VA hospitals in North Las Vegas that's produced a lot of jobs. It's boosted the economy in that area. We're building more homes over there. That's one of them if you're a retired vet. It's a great, great thing for us. As far as our other health care, absolutely. I will for you.
Well, that's wonderful. So I thank you both very much. Both of you are going to be regulars for us. So I don't feel bad saying goodbye. But once again, Diane, last place that they can find you, tell us where they find you again.
www.dianesellslv.com or Diane M as in Mary Bell at LinkedIn as well. And contact me, and I would love to provide you with any free information that I have.
That's terrific. And again, Robert?
www.unitybank.com. There's a financial planning tab on the top. Just click on that, and you'll get right to me.
So thank you both very much.
Thanks for having me.
And I'm about to introduce a really old friend of mine who is one of the top gerontologists in the country. And I have to tell you that the problem with being a gerontologist on my show is not enough people know even what is a gerontologist. So we will start with that one. But Dr. Neil Cutler was the professor at Penn, which is not only important to me because my son went to Penn, but because he allowed me to do my research for my latest book at the Bettner Institute, of which he was the head. And then he went off, leaving us all, to L.A. to become the director of the Motion Picture and Television Fund Geriatric Center, which had a nursing home at one time, still has a hospital, is an assisted living community, and over 55 community for stars, the very stars you know. I mean, they have the Jodie Foster pool because her mom stayed there. And now, and has for many years, been one of the premier financial writers on the issue of what he calls wealth span, which is the name of his latest book, and what it means to live longer, and generationally the difference that we have and we experience. So there's a lot of wonderful articles. He writes for Financial Planner magazine and many others. If you're going to have somebody working with you on making sure that your money lasts as long as you do, they're probably using some of the theories that Dr. Neil Cutler has brought to bear in the language that he's put together for this very difficult issue of, we glibly say, outliving your money. But no, we don't want to do that, and we have Dr. Neil Cutler to thank for all of the work that he's done also for the American Institute of Financial Gerontology. Hi, Neil. How you doing?
Hi. How are you, Adrian?
I am good, and thank you so much for being on our new show. We're really excited about it. We are hearing you loud and clear. I have to
make one correction.
Yes,
I was at the Motion Picture Television Fund, but we don't have a pool. When Jodie Foster made a donation of $1 million, we don't call that a pool. We call it an aquatic pavilion.
Oh, of course. For a half a million, it's a pool.
It's a warm water. It's a warm water therapy-oriented facility. But anyway, I should mention, it's not at Motion Picture Television Fund, we never did things that were small, so we have an aquatic pavilion and not a pool. But beyond that, everything's fine.
You know what? I've been it. I've been there. I've seen it. And it's an amazing facility, and much, much to your credit. So let's take a look right now, though, to some of the things that you've been working on. You're also on the foundation of the AARP. I think people ought to know that. The fact is that you get to see the bird's eye view of what's happening financially to us. We just finished talking about some very practical things. But the theoretical that you look at really makes a difference in how real financial services are delivered. So I want to explore what you call wealth span. Explain what wealth span is.
There's something before that. You mentioned, as you're introducing me, that not everyone knows what gerontology is, so that's even a better place to start.
Sure,
call it a pre-start, that gerontology is not the study of old people, but it's the study of the aging process, the life course, the lifespan. And so gerontology, while it has the word gero in it, as does geriatrics, it's really looking at aging across, it could be the whole lifespan. We don't deal much with babies, but certainly with middle age, and since boomers are middle age before they're old, that's all part of what we do in gerontology. And then that leads directly into the wealth span, because we're looking at financial issues across a number of years. If someone starts, as some of your other guests were saying, if someone begins their planning for their later life when they're 78 years old, it's way too late. So we look at the wealth span in terms of the accumulation of money over the course of the young adult, middle-aged part of years, and then what we do with it in the later years. So the wealth span is an extension of the whole gerontology, the processes of aging over many years point of view.
Now, we are living longer. We surely are. And we are certainly living longer after retirement. And the question becomes, what do we need here? Now, you look at things from the government point of view, from policy point of view. We don't have pensions anymore. Are there solutions for this, or are we simply going to be old and poor?
Well, not necessarily old and poor. It really has to do with how much a person understands, for example, the fact that they are going to live longer, more likely than their parents. What I do in my research, what the wealth span really is taking the concept of the lifespan and even the health span, which which physicians and geriatricians have looked at, and say, let's look at the stages of a person's life in terms of their wealth. We know that in the early stages you accumulate, whether it's fast or slow, but you accumulate over years, and the time value of money means you put some money away when you're 30, it's going to grow if invested well or even at a slow rate. And it builds up until the time you need it, which we used to call retirement, but nowadays the line between when you're working and when you're not working and retired is a much fuzzier line than it used to be. But
right.
the basic idea behind the wealth span is that part of our lives where we're accumulating has basically gotten shorter. And that part of our lives when we're spending, or some people call it deaccumulating, but spending is a better way of putting it, has gotten longer. Now, some of that we can control. The fact that the accumulation side or the accumulation stage of the wealth span has gotten shorter, well, that's partly because we stay in school longer and the master's degree is the new bachelor's degree kind of
yes.
thing. So we don't begin to accumulate till later in life than used to be the case. In fact, a lot of my students, they almost boo me when I talk about finally getting into the workforce. They say, yeah, but nowadays we start accumulating with $100,000 worth of college debt, which is
yes.
a fair statement. So we start accumulating later. And because of the patterns of early retirement, which are changing, but because of the patterns of desire for early retirement, the accumulation stage ends a little earlier than it used to be. That's all controllable to some extent. We can work longer if we want to. We can work longer if we have to and extend the accumulation part. The part that's not so controllable is the fact that those expenditure years are longer because of longevity. Most people
right.
are living longer than their parents and grandparents, which means that the money that's accumulated in this somewhat shorter accumulation stage has to last longer than it used to be. It has to last longer because that expenditure stage is longer. And that's just the beginning of the story. We don't have many minutes today, and I understand you're going to invite me back, or you might invite me back.
Oh, yes.
Am I inviting myself? I'm sorry. But anyway, you might not invite me back. But it's not only that these two stages, one is now shorter than it used to be, one is now longer.
And the other longer.
They're also getting much more complex than they used to be. I mean, you put your finger on one of the big ones, and that is the whole nature of retirement savings different. The traditional defined benefit pension is a thing of the past.
Yep.
So,
you know, one of the interesting things about your work, and it took me a while to realize that because of the word gero in gerontology, is that a lot of what you have come up with is actually very important to younger people. Because by realizing what you just said, they can maximize their accumulation phase, which may be in their 20s or 30s. It may be starting later, and it may be starting with more debt, but the fact is that if there was some discipline in it, it would make a very, very big difference. I know that as a baby boomer, I thought life was very short. I was pretty shocked when I hit 50, and I was very shocked at 65, because I really thought life was pretty short. I figured it ends, so you spend now, and I had a very hedonistic attitude, and I was not alone. I know for sure I wasn't alone. But that is something that people can really learn from your work. You also talk about reverse sandwich and other things of that nature. I'd like you to talk about that because I want people to start thinking the Professor Neil Cutler way when they have a really good intellectual look at what's happening in their life. Explain
well,
that.
The term that I kind of invented or modified is the senior sandwich. A lot of people have heard of the sandwich generation refers to people, usually used to refer to women who had older parents and little babies at home. So they were the sandwich generation. And about 10 years ago, I woke up, looked in the mirror, and I said, wait a second. I have a teenage daughter and a mother in her 80s, and I'm in my late 50s. This was a few years ago now. I'm a sandwich generation, but it's not a young sandwich. I'm already middle or late middle ager. So that's when the idea of the senior sandwich was born. And I started looking at the census data and public opinion polls and surveys, realized there's an increasingly large number of people who are 50 and 60 years old and have they're the kids of 80 and 90-year-old parents. And many of us, also have either teenagers or young adults in our family. So the sandwich generation phenomenon is there, but it's arriving at a time when the person in the middle in the sandwich section is not a young adult, but an older adult. So the whole idea of the wealth span and the planning that it involves implies also that you have to plan for a time when you yourself or your client, if you're an advisor, is on the cusp of old age but still has older parents in their life as well as adult children. I mean, the whole late 20th century, early 21st century changes in marital divorce and remarriage and late marriage and second children and late babies and all those kinds of things means there are more and more 50-year-olds and even 60-year-olds who have kids and teenagers at home while simultaneously having elder parents to be concerned about. So that the notion of the senior sandwich is very relevant to the whole wealth span financial gerontology kind of thing. It wasn't there 100 years ago when not too many 50-year-olds had living parents, but now it's dominant.
And there were not too many 50-year-olds. At the turn of the century of 1900, the average age that lifespan was 47. So there wasn't even 50-year-olds, let alone 50-year-olds with parents.
Well, there were some, yeah, but not as many. But the key is that the sea change in 60-year-olds who have two, or if they're married, four parents around in their life, that makes a tremendous difference in the whole question of financial preparation for older age, because it's not just yourself anymore. In my own case, my mother has now passed away. She would have been 100 this year, but now, so I don't have that particular half of the sandwich anymore, but I do have younger children and, of course, the grandchildren. So the whole older person in the middle of the sandwich continues.
So we thank you so much. I just want to ask, there are articles that you're always writing. Is there a place that people who are not professional financial planners can read your work?
I think the best place to start to learn about this concept of financial gerontology, understanding the connection between aging and money to some extent, is to go to the website of the American Institute of Financial Gerontology, and the call letters there are, using radio terms, the call letters, www.aifg.org. And that's a good place to start. You'll see the kinds of people who are on our faculty. You'll see a little bit of my biography, and you start there.
And, of course, Amazon, you'll see Wealth Span, but that is a book more for professionals. We thank you so much for being with us, Dr. Cutler, and we will be talking again.
Adrian, thank you.
Thank you. All right. We are going to wrap up with Howard Weinrich, who is with us right now, and I was explaining to you guys that we had a wonderful course at RVCC. You all met Pepe Margulies in this show, and Lifelong Learning Center, where we had about 35 people who wanted to be journalists, and of them, four are. You met Joe Misch, and now we're going to introduce you to somebody who you're going to hear a lot from. He doesn't have too much time because of the constraints of this first launch show, but you're going to hear a lot from him. His name is Howard Weinrich. He is a lawyer. Do not hold that against him. He is our Age Beat law journalist and reporter. He's also a photographer who does a lot of our event photography. And Howard, how are you doing?
Okay, Adrian. Glad to join you on the show.
Yeah, it's been working out very well. We have some time together. And I want to just introduce you and have you start by explaining the kinds of things that you've been trying to do in Tewksbury, the pleasure and the pain, because we want you to know that Howard is also a community organizer in his own right, working on creating a senior club in Tewksbury. Tell us a little about that, Howard.
Well, together with the township, we've been trying to put together a senior club here in Tewksbury and try to promote events within the township. We have some that are very successful. The township has basically provided a meeting room at what we call the Meadows, which is a community center here in town. And we've been encouraging participation by Tewksbury seniors in the events that we hold, that we have there, as well as publicizing other events in the township and then other events that are occurring in the county.
Howard, you're going to hear a little bit of music before we go out, and then we're going to stay with you, so don't worry about that. I'm just going to say, they say station identification. We have a brand new song that was written just for us. Now, you guys will be hearing more about Howard on our Super Aging NJ and all of the other wonderful guests that we've had. You can even hear this song. We'll post this one up, too. It's a 10-minute musical written just for us. And don't forget, it's every Thursday at 10, Super Aging Today, the only show that actually celebrates aging. And this is Adrian Berg saying, boy, it's been a blast. I'm happy and I'm inappropriate for my age. And we're here with Howard Weinreich, and he is one of our photojournalists and age beat journalists. And he's telling us about organizing a senior club in Tewksbury, which is not an easy thing to do. Howard, I hear that you have been getting some support. But what about the people? I know you have a fairly decent list, and you're actually trying to put your finger on what brings people together to meet and to create a club that's ongoing. And we want to know. We want people to actually let us know, too, and have a great feedback. So tell us some of the events that really drew people. I think that's very interesting.
Well, a few days ago we had an event on travel and a discussion of whether seniors in Tewksbury can find the same travel destination in the same time, so as to create groups. That's not the easiest thing in the world, because you can't have somebody who wants to go to Ireland in January go with somebody who really can only go in March. And even
right.
though a lot of the members are retired, it's still different people want to go to different things at different times. We also had a show or presentation on scams, frauds, and what other people want to do to steal your money, which was quite successful. We had a police officer, we had a postal inspector, and we had two representatives of the New Jersey Department of Consumer Affairs, basically talking about all the frauds and schemes that are out there, ranging from what I assume everybody's heard of as the grandparent scheme to just getting calls from the IRS, which obviously aren't coming from the IRS, that if you don't
right.
send us a money order for blank dollars in the next 24 hours, we're going to send somebody to have you arrested. Scams are all over the place. And even though it wasn't
was
a meeting of...
That one was well attended.
And we also had an ordinance proposed in town, which adversely affected seniors somewhat more than adversely affecting everybody else, and there was a huge turnout at the Township Committee meeting earlier in the week at which the ordinance was voted down. And I wouldn't call that a meeting, but there were sure a lot of seniors there.
Well, now, you had something to do with that. I'm sure you've told people and you've promoted the fact that we should get involved with our community. And an ordinance that would have bothered seniors might have passed if seniors didn't know it was there. So one of the big challenges, and I think that you'll agree, and one of the reasons that we're so happy that you're working with us, Howard, is that you do get the word out. You follow what's going on in your community, and not everybody else does, particularly in areas like ours where people have individual homes. It's not apartment buildings where everybody can talk in the hall. Many of the people are retired, so there's no scuttlebutt around the water cooler. You become a beacon to let people know what's going on, and we really, really appreciate it. So now that that ordinance is gone, what's the next thing you're looking at? What's the next event or issue that you'll be looking at for Super
Aging NJ? Well, there's actually a new ordinance, which I don't think there's going to be much opposition to, but was proposed at the meeting, and I'm actually writing something to send to the seniors with a copy of the ordinance so they can make a decision as to whether they want to oppose it or support it. But, yes, I agree. I think that every town should have someone like that, because reporting out on what's going on and telling seniors and others what they need to know, because I don't see where it's actually happening.
Well, I have to thank you, and as you know, we would have a very short conversation today, but we're going to be delving a lot more with this and other legal issues that are in our community through Howard Weinreich, and you'll see his beautiful photos and his events, and we will talk about that too and promote them. So, Howard, thank you so much for being with us for these few moments.
Glad to be here, Adrian. Have a good day.
You too. Take care.
Bye.
And this is Adrian Berg, and this is Super Aging Today, and we will go off with our music and ask you to have a wonderful week.